This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, the show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have the beautiful and wonderful Monique. How are you doing?
Hello, beautiful souls. I am so good. How are you doing, Jason? Thank you so much.
I'm doing good. It's early morning here at NZ Spirit Festival. We met yesterday, and I had all these questions come up about the work that you do, and I was like, oh, actually, you know what? Let's save those for the radio. what you were sharing with me is quite fascinating. It's new. It might be a bit difficult for people to comprehend and understand, but we'll do our best today to make it easier to understand. And, well, I guess we should mention, what is it that you do?
What is it that I do? So I do... It's like a branch of quantum healing. We use the term quantum healing because that's kind of like, it's kind of a blend of quantum physics and energy healing.
Yep. So there's different types of quantum. So the one that came to mind when I met yesterday was QHHT, which is a hypnosis technique that uses quantum healing. Yes. So that's using, it's using the quantum.
Yes, so this is fascinating to me, and I love that you brought up QHHT because I really love this modality. So the difference, I guess a really big difference with what I'm doing and with QHHT is QHHT basically gets the person to connect into their subconscious awareness of like their soul, their being, everything like that. What I would do is I would... go into the quantum and tap into that same source of information, if that makes sense. So rather than putting the person under to a hypnosis technique and to go into their subconscious, I would I don't even know how to explain it. I would use a quantum. I would enter the quantum and connect them with the energy field in that way.
Well, what came up yesterday was the word channeling, and you sort of shifting your consciousness into another dimension or reality, which is the quantum.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Right, and that's, and the quantum is like this. What? How would you describe it? For me, it's kind of like the everything, everywhere, all at once. You know, it's like there's no time there, and there's no space there. So physically, you could be anywhere, and time-wise, you could be at any time.
That's exactly it. So that's right. So if we look at it, it's like we've even been told this for a really long time. Like, we see only 1% of what's actually the physical, right? The physical is only 1%. So that leaves a whole lot of a whole lot of energy that's not what we see. So
I've heard that the most abundant matter in the universe, it's not solid, liquid, or gas, but it's plasma, right? Or what they used to call in the old days, ether, and what science used to call doesn't exist. It's just dark matter and dark energy, but it's actually something that exists.
Yes,
and that's 99.99% of everything.
That's it.
And yet there's this physical stuff which we are, and we think we're quite important.
Yeah, right.
But what we are is a physical manifestation of that plasma. So we're all part of it.
That's exactly it. And yeah, pretty much that's what it is. Is it's like what you're doing is you're getting out of the physical and you're going into that other realm, that other energy, that where everything is one, if that makes sense. So, you know, you're me and I am you. I don't know, everyone keeps saying that kind of thing, but like, it's like it kind of makes so much more sense when you're actually in the quantum. And
We are talking in terms of our ego or our individuality. We're not the same in that way. We're the same in terms of Namaste, the divine spark that's in you is the same that's in me.
For sure. And it's almost like once you go into this, there's so much separation in this physical, but when you go into this the quantum, it's all one. Like, that's the one of the biggest there's different understandings, I guess, that exist there.
And is it similar to the term Akashic Records? You're getting into this cosmic library of
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You know, yes, yes, yes. Oh gosh, that is so good that you brought that up.
Use all these different words, but I believe we're all talking about the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying. So this is a really interesting one as well. I mean, I guess in a way, yeah, like that part of it is existing in that realm too, because there is the knowing and the knowledge of everything that is, everything that was, everything that has been. Because, like you say, there's no time. It's just everything there. So yeah, like yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It's really yeah, because like you say, when you go to the QHHT, they tap into that. But when you go into the quantum, that's where they're tapping into. So, yes, yeah, true. I didn't even think about it like that. But, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But I guess what I should ask at the beginning is, how did you get into it, into this work? What, what led you to the quantum realm?
Yeah, good question. So my journey is pretty... I think everyone I talk to who is some sort of energy healer has really strange journeys of how they got there, you know. So mine's, I guess, just as strange as everybody else's. So at about 27 years old, I had a near-death experience, or an NDE, that helped me connect in ways that I didn't even realize at the time. I was really highly sensitive to people's energy. So it's all frequency, right? So I became really aware of frequency, and I didn't even know I had like a knowing that a lot of people get after near-death experiences. Then I had another near-death experience at 30, which lasted about 6 months, where I was drifting in and out of realms, in and out of the quantum. I didn't understand that that's what was happening at the time. That made it really easy for me, I guess, to connect in later and to be able to...
Right. So it's kind of like a training.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a training.
Oh, definitely. I don't regret it. I'm totally grateful for all of it. Wasn't at the time, but...
Yeah. Do you ever go out of your body and see yourself, or is that different?
That is something... I mean, it's different and similar, if that makes any sense at all, but there's a lot of people who do have similar life-threatening situations happen to them, can go out of body and witness that.
But you went out of dimension.
Yeah.
Jeez. You went way to the other side of the universe.
Exactly. Okay. Yes, it was really fascinating what happened. I didn't understand that I was communicating with spirit at that time. It took a long time afterwards to actually be able to research, to delve deep into all these different modalities to understand what was happening to me.
So that experience led you to actually want to find out what happened to you?
Absolutely.
What's happening?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. And once I came back, again, those senses were extra heightened. There were way more information that I was getting that I wasn't understanding. So yeah, so I just went down the rabbit hole, and here I am.
Well, and so in terms of this quantum healing that you do, who teaches that? Where is that from? Where does it come from?
Yes, so this is amazing. So in my journey, I was researching a lot of different modalities, and it's there is a medium that I was most connected to, and she was the one that was most helpful in helping me understand what was happening to me. She was the one that actually explained what was happening when I was near death, that I was going in and out of realms, and then basically turned me onto all these other different like quantum physicists, like all these other people that knew exactly what were happening. And it just kind of folded in from there. Yeah.
But is there any sort of training? Like, did you learn under someone?
Yes, I learned under the medium. Yeah, she's incredible.
So she was
she was a wonderful guide in that way. Absolutely.
Did she learn under anyone, or is this her own sort of intuitive?
My understanding is that it was a blend of science and intuitive practice once again, and that tends to be what I've noticed with a lot of practitioners too, is they find these science backings to help support them with what they're experiencing.
And has she trained anyone else?
Yes, I believe there's only four people that do this branch of quantum healing, which is pretty incredible. It seems as though it's an up-and-coming modality. Like, it seems like it's really, what we're finding is, I guess, like, things that, you know, people come to me and get a healing, for example, and they'll say, oh gosh, a doctor's been trying to figure this out for ages. Like, they had no idea what was there. I've had scans doing all this stuff. And for me, it was just the first thing that popped up. what I did was I connected in with the energy field, and I feel how this energy block is making them feel. Like, yeah. I feel the pain, all of that.
It's a bit hard to go to the doctors and ask them to scan your quantum field. They aren't there yet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So my understanding is in a few generations, this will be like the baseline modality for health.
And it's not devices that we need to measure people, it's ourselves. Absolutely. We are that device and conduit or channel.
Absolutely. And when people know that there's something, you know, that they're feeling something in their physical body, I 100% believe that, because, you know, while devices may not be able to pick up these energy blocks, I can definitely see them, I can feel them, I can transmute them in the energy field. Mm.
Yeah, describe what's happening in this healing. So you're tapping into the field,
mm-hmm.
and you're looking, are you looking for disturbances, blockages, what you're doing, removing those or creating coherence, or what is it that you actually...
Yeah, do? So if we look at it, like, everything has a frequency, right? So everything exists at a frequency. So let's say I was going to tap into your energy field. The first thing that I would do is I would... clear some things out that we just get from stress and all of that, just so I can see you a little bit better. Then what happens is your soul will tell me what needs to go. Like, your soul will be like, some people, before I've even, as I've clicked in, they're like, you know, my left ear starts hurting, like so much pain, it feels like it's mine. Does that make sense? Like, because I'm so connected to the energy field.
So you're feeling
what you feel. Exactly. So then I'll ask your soul, show me that, can I see that, you know? And I get shown what it is, how it is, and the process is basically dropping this and transmuting it. Yeah.
Okay, so you're communicating, is it your soul communicating with their soul?
Yeah, my soul will be communicating with your soul. In the midst of all of this, we've got your spirit team, my spirit team, and we're connected to, I don't know, however you want to say it, source, God, whatever name they want to give
spirit,
it.
Spirit, yeah.
Spirit,
I guess,
yeah.
And the question yesterday came up when we were initially talking was, what is the soul?
Yeah, beautiful question, beautiful question.
So how do you define soul?
Such a complex question,
so
right?
What is your soul tapping into in the other person?
Beautiful, yeah. So my understanding of the soul is a healthy soul extends about 9 feet from the physical body, right?
So it's a field?
Yes, yep. exactly. So you've got your physical body and you've got your field. Within that field, you have your past lives.
3 meters around you.
Yes, yes. You've got all of your past lives. You've got this subconscious knowing. There's a lot that you've got there. Now, what happens is when somebody is unwell, when they're depleted, when they're going through some stuff, we can see it, right? Like, we can see it and feel it. Mm. But what happens is they start to draw energy from the soul. So the soul actually goes inward.
Okay, so that field shrinks?
Exactly, exactly. So for
contraction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's a big thing that's come up for me, is everything is yin and yang, these two forces, and there's contraction and expansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, contraction sounds very, yeah, that sounds, that's when things are not going well, and expansion are when things are doing better.
And you can totally see it, right? Like, you can see it in a person who, you know, I'm sure most of us have been there, right? Where, you know, you can feel depleted, you feel exhausted. Yep. And then at other times when you feel like, when your soul is expanded, you feel that expansion, you feel that energy, like it's effortless, hey?
Yeah, okay, so you're to your field.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting with another field, and there's a resonance there, so you start to feel physically, so your field transfers that energy to your body, and then you're feeling what's happening in the other person's body.
If you think of it like an umbilical cord, so like, we're so connected to our bodies. Like, some cultures believe, and I also agree with this, is when we go to sleep, we actually leave our bodies and we go walking around, we go moseying around.
Yeah. And dream time,
right? And what happens is we've got that umbilical cord that makes us so connected to our body that, like, you know, you can come back effortlessly. Yep. Like, you know, you can wake up and boom, you're back in your body. So yeah, so it's all
that's then you go, so, and then you get into psychedelic journeys, and a good trip is when you still are connected to that cord, and a bad one, some people come back psychotic because they've become detached. You know, they weren't guided correctly, or, you know, something went wrong, and they've lost that attachment to their body, and some people don't come back from that, so it's quite some people taking these things like they're lollies and nothing, but it's quite a serious thing. Things can go wrong, and it is due to that.
And that's interesting, because I actually do teach some techniques that some people in general start feeling a bit disconnected from their body, and you can tell they got some emotional unrest. You know, I teach some techniques to help bring them back in and focus back on the grounding, back on the feet and the legs. Because, you know, it's so important that, you know, a lot of people focus on their third eye, and it's like, nah, bring it back down to that root chakra, you know, like, bring it back down to come back to earth right now. That's where we need to be.
Cannot walk out this door, still out there somewhere.
Exactly.
That's good. Yeah, because I've heard that's the difference between a good therapist and a bad one is a good therapist will, you'll enter the room, you'll go someplace, but then you'll come back to where you are.
Absolutely.
It's like the hero's journey. You'll go somewhere, you'll learn something, and you'll bring that back, and, you know, the process is to integrate it, and then you'll leave with that thing.
That's
Whereas
it.
A bad therapist will take you somewhere, okay, bye.
Yeah.
And you're in this forest, in this dark cave, and you're having to go home. What the hell have you done with me? And that's true. And it's not a modality. It's based on the individual practitioner, which is why it's very important to shop around and get references and do all this stuff, because you can get damaged trying to heal.
yeah, totally. You know, you've got to find people that are the right fit.
I badmouth the Western medical model because it's mainly an emergency tool. You shouldn't be going there for lifestyle stuff, for cancer and heart. That, you're wasting it. Go there for a broken arm. Go there when you're bleeding out. But the same thing happens. You know, it could be Reiki, it could be Chiro, it could be anything. Mm. There's good and bad apples in every practice, and you got to do your homework.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And yes, I definitely, I definitely learned that the hard way in the medical system. But, you know, I definitely do agree with that now that, you know, they've only got the tools that they've got. And I guess it is what it is, really. There's just so much that more out there that's not necessarily integrated yet. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful one day.
Yeah. You were mentioning yesterday that you were doing an in-person session. Someone saw what was happening when you were in the middle of it. Do you want to explain that a bit?
Yeah, that was strange. So, of course, I can't really see what I look like. And I can tell I look a bit strange, you know, because, like I said, I'm feeling, you know. Someone said, well, what's the difference? Like, does that make you a clairvoyant? So they say clairvoyants can see. And, you know, my spiritual sense is feeling. So I get... Basically what happens is, like I said, I tap into someone's energy field and I feel what they feel. Now, if I'm flooding their energy field with the highest frequency of Supreme Creator's energy, whatever you want to call it, life force energy, love, all of that, when I'm flooding that, it's such a powerful energy. Like, we want to talk about how powerful these blocks are. They are powerful. I'm not discrediting that. They are very easily transmuted. They are nothing to the highest frequency of love, if that makes sense. Like, that energy pushes me around. I start spinning.
Physically?
Yeah, like physically spinning. And I can't, I'm holding on because I can't control that, you know. The other part of it is someone told me that they saw my eyes flickering back and forth when they opened up their eyes. And it was interesting to me because that's what people experience in REM sleep, right? Now, this was fascinating because I'm in no way asleep. I'm very aware. I'm very conscious. Yeah, so it just made me really curious, I guess, or interested.
So it's like you are tapping into that dream time or into another reality, another dimension, quantum realm, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it makes me so curious. Where do we go when we dream? Like, are we going to that same...
Well, some people say we're always dreaming and it's only when we're sleeping that we're aware.
Oh, I love that.
And conscious of the dream.
I
so right now, we're unconscious of the dream.
Yes,
so you're just... when you're doing this work, fantastic. It sounds like you're tapping into the dream consciously that we're always in.
The real world, right? Because
this is an illusion.
This is a simulation.
Some people call it a simulation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the way that I understand it, right? It's like if we can see it, if we can feel it and touch it, it seems like, actually when I wake up, when I come out of the quantum, I really feel like when I'm looking at the space, it feels so much like a simulation. Like, it feels so glitchy, if that makes sense. Like, I'll be like, man, those trees... they look fake as. Nice try. Can't fool me, you know.
Is it like the feeling? Because when you get all that love frequency come through, like you said, it's this massive. I mean, to me, I was about to say that frequency would be the entire cosmos coming through
at the
same time, right? So, of course, this one individual physical manifest, or this little energetic block. It may seem big and humongous to a person, this Absolutely. Massive trauma and block, but it's nothing compared to everything that exists, right?
And it's nothing to everything that they are. Like,
it's like
everything
a wave
that exists
crashing on this little sandcastle. Just
yeah, you know, and it's so incredible, like, how, you know, much these energy blocks affect us and affect our lives. And, like, it just makes me think how amazing we are as people, like, how incredible, like, you know, I'm filling up that high frequency of love, but that's not to say that it doesn't already exist in them, you know? And I just think that is so powerful, like, that's so healing in itself.
That's the thing, like, are you simply this thing resonating over here, and then their field's just catching it and resonating and just internally expressing itself, right? Mm. Are you that wave crashing over, or are you something that's causing the wave within them to come up and flush out that blockage within themselves?
Well, that's it, you know, because all I'm doing is I connect in with their soul. Their soul is telling me everything. Mm. Their soul is leading the way. Like, even the person will say, Monique, keep going on the healing. This feels great. Mm. And I'll say to their soul, is it all right to keep going? They're like, nah, man, you need to stop now. So I'm like, okay. I was like, nah, I can't, you know, I can't keep going because your soul. But, you know, like you say, it's like all I'm doing is following I'm just a vessel. I'm just following instructions of
kind of
what they're
so
telling.
I do some Reiki, and I remember when I'm feeling like there was this one person I was working on, I could feel on a certain part, one of their chakras, tears would come to my eyes, and I was like, okay, and they move away, and I want to make sure, so I come back, and then it started to well up again. So there's that resonance in our fields. We're all entangled.
We're so entangled,
so that's what you're doing there. But so you say this love frequency, and one of my favorite questions to ask people is, how do you define love? Because we say this word,
beautiful,
and this whole Western romanticized version of it, which is, I'm not saying it's wrong, that, you know, it could be your parents. Like, where did you get your, what do you mean when you give it and say it, and what do you mean when you receive it and hear it? So for you, how do you define love?
That's a beautiful question. This is really tricky, because I feel that it's kind of like the more that you know, the less that you know, right? So, like, anything that I know about love or about anything like that, I feel like, so what I do is I tap into the Supreme Creator's version of love, like the unconditional, that pure, the way that I would imagine this is this sort of feeling of eternal peace, eternal, like, just like so much unconditional, just like energy, I guess. But I think that that is something.
So is it a space without judgment, without, like, without pain, suffering? Or maybe it's even a space without joy. It's just this sort of resting space.
It's really interesting, eh? Like, I feel like my version of love in this realm, in this physical human body, is always going to be different to the Supreme Creator's version of love until I'm fully ascended. Yeah. Oh, wow, I didn't know what I was going to... But I think, like, I would love to be able to experience, but I guess it's like...
But for you personally, what is love?
For me personally?
Is it that big one?
In this realm?
Is it that big? Agape, sort of like the Greeks call it the agape, the unconditional godlike love, where you're looking at someone in their higher self.
Yeah. I would say like that. And then, but, like, you know, also with love in general, I think it's just like that whole feeling of just knowing that you can be who you are, and knowing that you're, like, always going to be supported, and just knowing that, like this person wants the best interest for, like, every cell of your being, I suppose. And
and that's why it's good to love, in that definition, yourself.
Yeah.
So you want the best for yourself and every cell
of
your being.
That is it. That is so the way, you know. And I feel like for me personally, like, when I made that decision, and, you know, people often get quite upset with me when I use this language, and I do apologize, but I'm only talking from my experience. But when I made the decision to fall in love with myself, like, oh, it was the best decision that I ever made. It's the best relationship I have ever had.
Same here.
And, you know, and yeah,
I am my own beloved first, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And if I can love myself, then it's easy to love others.
Oh, 100%. And I really feel that, like, that frequency, you know, you're just getting more of, you're just getting, attracting more of that into your world.
Like. So for you, that sounds like that frequency is about support, seeing someone as their best self, and
Absolutely. And I guess just, like, also there's these feelings that you just can't really put into words, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like that.
How do you define love? Love is undefinable.
Exactly. I was like, that feeling, you know, that pushes your entire body and spins you around, you know, in the best possible way, that fills you up, like, yeah.
It's the mystery.
The mystery of it all, yeah.
Cool. So another thing that came up yesterday was my friend asked you about ghosts. And entities in the home.
Love this.
And how to help them move on. Mm. Yeah, do you want to talk about that? Because that was quite fascinating.
Cool. Yeah. Well, so one of my friends, she did ask, can you do a quantum healing on my house, you know? Mm. And I said, yeah, of course, you know. So I went over to her house.
Now, the house, does it have a soul?
Yes, I believe that.
Because we have to find it as a field.
I believe so that.
Everything has a field. This blade of grass has a field. Everything has a field.
I believe that 100%. Yeah. So what I did was I actually got her permission, but I asked the house for permission. So I put my hand on the house and I said, is it all good to do this quantum healing on you? Do you want that? And it gave me an overwhelmingly yes. Like, it gave me a push to show yes. And then I asked another question, you know, like, whatever, like something to get a no, just to make sure that I was hearing the right thing.
Yeah, it's a similar thing when you're doing, like, when you're learning how to talk to your soul, you can do like kinesiology on yourself. Like,
exactly. Yourself.
But you got to try and do get a no, get a yes. Yeah.
Exactly. So she already mentioned to me that there was a spirit there. I found out that he was from the war, and he basically had died suddenly and gone back to a place that is familiar to him, which was the house. And the tricky part is that he was just kind of just residing there, you know, just like, I think of it as not in a harmful way, but I think just being lost and not having the tools to be able to move on, or not being ready right at that point. So all I did was connect him with his energy field and took him around to his area for the last time to share with him, and then moved him on to the next realm, I guess. And what I did was I coded him in safety and love, and just knowing that he was going to end up where he needed to be, you know, so passing him on, moving that to that place. And often souls that are a little bit too connected to their physical life, they do end up needing to go to a resting place just to be able to forget, to move on to the next one. So that's okay. Pretty much where it went. Like, I left him in the hands of the guides, and in the hands of the Supreme Creator, and that's, yeah.
Yeah, and a thought came really to mind that those sort of like ghosts, those souls that sort of hang around it, I feel like, you know, like the eighth chakra above the crown chakra might be blocked.
Yes.
Maybe that's that resting space that they need. So you might be helping in that. You know, it's just, I'm just thinking.
No, and I love that. I love that.
There's something in the energy field that's blocked, and then you come along and unblock that, and then that field can move or flow on to the next part of the cosmic journey.
And it's really beautiful that you bring up the eighth chakra, because I often think of this as like an umbilical cord to the Supreme Creator, you know? So, and I see that often in the quantum too. Like, I see if there are entities or there are things around the eighth chakra, that connection to source or that umbilical cord isn't as easily. So yeah, I actually did, when you mentioned that yesterday, I resonated really well with that, because I thought that's exactly it. Like, it, they don't know how to get home, you know, they're just a little bit stuck at that time.
Yeah, it's just like your seven chakras and that are embodied. When those get blocked, there's certain things that are going on, you're not sure what to do. But then there are chakras outside your body as well.
Absolutely. Gosh, it's just amazing how amazing people are, you know, and how amazing the spirit is, I guess.
And there'll be some people listening to this thinking, well, that's a whole bunch of BS. But sure. You know, I haven't had any sort of personal experience with ghosts or spirits or whatever, but the stories I've heard from you and other people where, you know, these ghost cats and ghost this and all these entities and energies, just because I haven't felt it doesn't mean it isn't real, because other people have felt it, and I can't deny someone else's experience. Yes. So I can be open to the possibility, right?
Yes.
But I can't shut myself off, because if I shut myself off and something does happen to me, I may never get that sorted, because I've shut that door and I'll never look down that path.
100%.
So you got to keep yourself open to the possibility of, you know, what's real in this world, because we've been brought up in this Western society, which is quite materialistic, scientific, but science is missing a whole. And it's getting there. It's getting into the quantum stuff, right?
I hope so, eventually. But you're right, though. There's been so much denial throughout history of
denial,
these
the
things, and you know, apparently, and I look, I don't know. I haven't had this yarn. I haven't had this yarn with the spirits or anything like that. But I thought about this because someone was saying to me, like, imagine how they were saying about how upset and how hurt these spirits get when we deny their existence. Mm. And I thought about that and I was like, what if someone told me that I never existed? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I thought
about the ultimate gaslight. You're not even real, bro. You're not talking to me right now, man. You don't exist.
And I thought about that, you know, especially these spirits that are really these guides, you know, for example, or these ones that are really here to support you, really like backing us. You know, and I respect anyone's belief to think otherwise.
What I'm getting is, okay, there are all these fields and then there's our field. And if our field says something that isn't true, like it denies something that's real, then our field gets disturbed and incoherent, and which creates a disturbing incoherent in the other fields. So that's them getting hurt, quote unquote hurt.
Yes.
And then it could be this sort of vicious cycle of they, you know, now you've disturbed those fields and they could disturb other fields. And now the whole world around you is disturbed because of this one belief and one denial. Like I was telling, you know, I was in this conversation last night and I brought up the fact that if you look across the definition of evil in most religions, philosophies, teachings, sacred texts, spiritual teachings is self-deception. That's the greatest evil, is self-deception, right? Deceiving yourself, denying what's happening in reality, not seeing reality for what it is. That is the greatest evil, and it's the evil that you impose on yourself. And then you share that with others, right? That's
interesting.
And so when you deny something, you create this incoherence in your field, which affects other fields and the fields around you. It's that whole thing of, like, you have this day where all these people that person's mean to me, that person's mean to me, that person's mean to me. But this whole time you've been mean to them. Like, you're the one factor. You're the one that's actually been mean to people. But you've been blaming other people. So you've got to be careful what you're putting out there. And if you put denial out there, then the world's going to deny you.
It's interesting, eh? And it's tricky too because, you know, I remember I had a conversation with a friend and she's real fascinating to me. She said to me, she goes, Monique, it's not that I don't believe. I look up at the stars and I think there's so much out there. She's like, I can't even deal. Like, do you know? I can't even deal with it. Like, I can't even. And I'm just like, mad respect to that. You know, she's kind of like, she's like, I know I don't know. You know, I know there's a lot of stuff that I don't know. But
that's
an acceptance. Absolutely.
That's accepting I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know this big picture. Absolutely. I know there's a big picture. I can't see it.
I can't see
versus,
it.
Versus there's no big picture. Looking, imagine looking up at the stars and going, meh.
It's only us. It's only us.
Exactly. Oh, my God. So your friend's on to
she's
it.
She's on to
she
it all
knows
right.
What she doesn't know.
And I just love that. I love the way she said it. She was like, if I even tried to delve into that, I would just get lost, you know? And I'm just like, mad respect. That's, I feel lost all the time. Yeah.
And everyone's and
delving,
you know,
into it.
When the timing's right, you'll delve into what you need to delve
exactly
into.
That's exactly it.
Will appear, the door will open, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with people about what you do?
I mean, the only other thing that I would share is that, DNA. We didn't get into that last night,
DNA,
did we?
No.
DNA.
What's happening?
So I'm actually a trauma specialist counselor as well as a quantum healer. So in that, they say that they're, you know, most people have like kind of accepted intergenerational trauma.
Ancestral trauma. Yeah.
Yes, right. Like the concept that trauma has like physically affects the DNA. Now, the thing that scientists have that say at the moment is that DNA takes two generations to recorrect itself. So, for example, say like two generations of safety to go back to to heal.
A baseline
to heal, right? So what we're actually seeing in the quantum is something completely different because when we do DNA work in the quantum field where no time exists, that happens instantly.
Yep.
Does that make sense? So things like addiction that has been shown to people can inherit those sort of addictions in their DNA. What we found is removing, we call them templates, addiction templates, or recorrecting the DNA, changing it from the addiction back to its organic state, has had incredible results. So some people, for example, go to smoke some weed straight after and then they're like, oh, you know, something that they found.
So what's coming up for me is, you know, I'm always thinking of the material and the energetic side of things.
Yes.
So the science saying it takes a couple of generations, that's looking at yeah, so that's just passing down, having children with people, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And not engaging in those behaviours and passing on
exactly
those traits. But then what comes to mind when you're talking about the quantum sort of spontaneous healing, that's I'm thinking of epigenetics.
Yes.
And what you guys are doing are affecting the field in that moment, which causes the switch to happen straight away, right?
Yes.
And permanently by the sounds of it. So you're turning some genes on, some genes off in the moment versus having to wait for, you know,
two generations,
and
right?
To get together, blah, blah, blah. So there's that material side, and then there's that epigenetics, which is your environment. And you can do this with lifestyle factors, or you can do this with energy healing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And exactly what you say, epigenetics is like, you know, the DNA is structured by our cells, right? Our cells are the ones that make up the DNA, so that builds them. So damage to
your genes are just dumb blueprints. You're just sitting there waiting to be read. But the choices you make in your environment and your lifestyle will determine what genes get expressed.
Exactly. Right?
And
exactly.
But when it comes to addiction and some things, it can be very hard to switch those genes back.
Yes.
So it might take a couple of generations. But with this sort of type of energy healing, you support that field change outside the cell or outside the nucleus, and then you get that switch happen.
That's it. You basically take out the template that's existing in there, and you activate the opposite to addiction is connection. So we activate the connection template, and it's pretty amazing. I did this on myself. I actually have the addiction template, which is interesting. I didn't choose to engage in a lot of behaviors, but I had it lying there. Mm. And what had happened was I was craving sugar for like 3 days after. But afterwards, you know, it's amazing how powerful these things are and how much it can change. Yeah, it's just quite interesting that, you know, there's this concept that it takes all this time to heal. But I don't see that.
No, I think that's a story that we've been told.
Yes.
And it sells a lot of drugs.
It does sell a lot of drugs.
But it's funny because there's, I define addiction.
Makes a lot of money.
One way I define addiction is, it's a soul starved of connection.
That's a beautiful.
Someone who's addicted,
beautiful way
is a starving soul. It's a soul craving connection, you know.
Yes.
Which is, interesting that you say the opposite of addiction is connection. I haven't heard of it that way.
That's fascinating,
that
though.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense of what you're sharing.
So we consume in other ways.
Yes.
What we're wanting, but what we want is a hug.
Yeah.
To hold someone's hand.
To
look into someone's eyes. To hug heart to heart and
to feel
not needed but valued.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
It's okay to feel needed by a child, but when you're with your tribe and people and your colleagues, you know, and your family, you want to feel valued. Like,
definitely.
You matter. And if you have that, then addictions, they can fall by the wayside. But in this society where, and I guess in your family too, there's some families, unfortunately, where they're told that they don't matter. And
sad.
Yeah.
Another thing I found really interesting was souls that have addictions that when they pass on, they actually hang around the earth trying to consume what they've been addicted to just because they've been so connected to that. So this was really fascinating to me when I learned this, and it just made me all the more interested in removing people's addiction templates, you know what I mean, so that we are all able to.
Yeah, what were you saying yesterday about a cigarette or something like?
And that was interesting what your friend said as well. So I was saying that, like, you know, people addicted to nicotine, you know, if they are still addicted by the time they pass, their soul will hang about people that are smoking, you know, like trying to like that wanting, that yearning. And the way that your friend was talking yesterday, he said that on this Ghost Hunters show or something, the way that they got the spirit to come in was by offering them a cigarette. And that made me laugh because I was like, that is so interesting. And it's so powerful how much of those addictions have over us. All the more reason that I'm excited to remove all the addiction templates for people that want them removed in New Zealand.
I need to get some of your help. So if my soul gets stuck, just offer it a croissant and tell it, the pastries are done, mate. You're gone. Go to the next world.
Gosh. And how about the, you know, oh, your phone stung. Like, you know, that'll draw me back. Like, oh, I need to check my phone. Yeah, exactly.
No, that's cool. Oh. No, this has been an awesome chat. I've gotten a better idea of things, and it's helped me see things clearer. It's amazing how it's all connected.
Energy, it's all connected.
I think it was Tesla said everything's energy, frequency, and vibration. And if we can look through the world in those eyes, yeah, healing becomes better, and we treat each other better, and
it all makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? And I really appreciate the yarn too, and I appreciate you having a chat with me yesterday. I just love talking to people where it's so open-minded, where it's like, you know, you don't have to stay in the gate. It's like, what gate, you know?
So I appreciate that. That's why we come to festivals like this, right? People come to unplug from the matrix and try to see a different reality for themselves and for their families and for their community. And we need more of these. And it's great.
Exactly.
It's awesome to have this here as well, this conversation.
It's amazing. I loved it. I've just loved every bit of it. It's just,
So how do people get in touch with you?
So you can find me on Instagram. It is quantum_healing555. Or my email is Monique Jean Niki.
Can you spell that?
Yep. MONIQUEJEANNIQUE
at
gmail.com.
Awesome. So they just reach out to you. Can you do remote sessions?
Absolutely. I said, we're all one in the quantum, so it doesn't matter where on earth you are. I can still tap into your energy field and send you information of what's been transmuted and removed.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. See you.
Yeah, thank you once again, Monique. That was a beautiful conversation. I love the openness, the vulnerability, just the free-flowing, non-judgmental sharing of two people wanting to, you know, just share more of themselves and their ideas and beliefs, you know. And I think we need more conversations like this, where we're not judging each other for our beliefs, but wanting to learn more and be understanding of each other. And what Monique teaches and serves is really right there with a lot of ancient teachings and cultural practices that we've lost connection with in the West. So I do highly recommend looking up Monique and her services. And that's it from me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.